Chapter 8. The Emperor's New Spies. Similar in design to the Pinnacle Room, the audience chamber on the penultimate level of the central spire was a circular space, but without partitions, and featuring a 10-meter-tall podium reserved for the Emperor, who accessed it by private turbolift from his residence. Tarkin arrived by means of the more public turbolift, entering the vast room to find nearly a dozen people waiting, all of whom he knew or recognized, loosely divided into three groups that made up the Emperor's uppermost tiers. First, and positioned closest to the podium, was the ruling council, represented just then by Ars Danger, Sate Pestage, and Janus Grigatus, all three dressed in baggy costumes of riotous color and floppy hats more befitting a night at the Coruscant Opera. More or less on equal footing, the two other groups were made up of members from the Imperial Security Bureau and the more recently created Naval Intelligence Agency, with Harris Eisen and Colonel Wolf Yularen speaking for the former, and Vice Admirals Rancit and Screed for the latter. Feeling like the odd man out, Tarkin gravitated to where Mos Amida and Darth Vader were standing, off to one side of the podium. Tarkin acknowledged his military comrades with a friendly nod to each. Some he had known since his academy days, others he had served with during the Clone Wars. Interestingly, the Emperor's advisers were also a kind of clique, having attached themselves to the Emperor since his early years as an untested senator from Naboo. Perhaps their outlandish garb was in some sense a tribute to the sartorial extravagance of Naboo's nobility. Even those who should have known better tended to dismiss Dangor, Grigatus, and Pestage as sycophants, when in fact members of the ruling council oversaw the everyday affairs of the Empire and wielded wide-ranging and sometimes menacing powers. Even the Empire's 20 moffs were obligated to answer to the Imperial cadre. On receiving a signal from the Emperor, Amida banged his statue-tipped staff on the floor as a sign that the briefing should commence. First to step forward was white-haired ISB Deputy Director Eisen, who bowed to the Emperor before turning to address everyone else in the chamber. "My lords, Moff Tarkin, admirals, with your permission and for the benefit of those of you who may not be fully conversant with the matter at hand, I offer a brief summary. 3 weeks ago, one of our intelligence assets reported a startling find on Murkana." Tarkin came to full alert at Eisen's mention of the former separatist stronghold world. "Due to the nature of the find, ISB wasted no time in bringing the matter to the attention of the ruling council, as well as to our counterparts in military intelligence." Eisen glanced at Rancit and Screed. Having lost an eye in the war, Screed was sporting a cybernetic implant. "Normally, ISB would have pursued an investigation on its own, but on Vizier Amida's recommendation, we are opening it up to discussion, in the hope of resolving how best to proceed." Tarkin wasn't surprised by Eisen's equivocal introduction. ISB functioned under the auspices of COMPNOR, the Commission for the Preservation of the New Order, which itself had arisen from the dregs of the Commission for the Protection of the Republic, and the deputy director was determined to spearhead the investigation without appearing overly proprietary and ambitious. And so he was generously opening the matter up to discussion, when it was clearly his hope that the ruling council would grant ISB full oversight, exempting the Bureau from having to share sensitive information with military intelligence or anyone else. "Please don't leave us hanging, Deputy Director," Amida said in his most sniping voice. "And come to the point." Tarkin watched Eisen's square jaw clench. The Deputy Director was surely biting his tongue as well. "The Murkana discovery consists of a cache of communications devices," Eisen said. "Signal interrupters, jammers, eradicators, and other apparatus, which to ISB suggests evidence of a potential stratagem to incapacitate the Holonet, as was temporarily achieved by the Separatists during the Clone Wars." Obviously in the dark about the find, advisors Grigatus and Dangor traded looks of bewilderment, where Grigatus's dark, sunken eyes and puffy face granted him an ominous look, Danger's long braided mustachios and broad furrowed brow imparted a bit of elan to an otherwise surly aspect. "Director Eisen," Dangor said, "perhaps these devices, though recently discovered, are nothing more than a cache left over from the war. They may even have been discovered elsewhere by beings unfamiliar with such devices and relocated to their present site." Eisen had an answer ready.
"That's entirely possible. The cache is so large that our agent didn't have time to inspect every crate and container, much less catalog every component. However, his preliminary report suggests that some of the devices may not have been available to the Confederacy during the war."
"Accepting that at face value for the moment," Dangor went on, "what importance do you attach to this technological trove?"
Colonel Yularen took over for Eisen.
"My lords, ISB fears that political dissenters may be planning to launch a propaganda operation, similar to the wartime shadow fleets, but directed, of course, against the Empire."
Close to Tarkin's age, though with more grey in his hair and especially in his bushy moustache, Yularen had traded a distinguished career in the Republic Navy for a position in Imperial Security, heading a division devoted to exposing instances of sedition in the Senate. He now served as a liaison between ISB and military intelligence, but not everyone in the audience chamber was touched by the colonel's justified concerns. In fact, Grigetus appeared to be cackling.
"That's a bit far-fetched, Colonel," he managed to say, "even for ISB. Has there been any evidence of holonet tampering that might support such a claim?"
Dangor asked in a more serious tone.
"Yes, there has,"
Yularen said, though without explanation or so much as a glance in Tarkin's direction. Vice Admiral Rancid stepped forward to speak.
"My lords, while naval intelligence agrees with ISB regarding the possibility of holonet sabotage, we feel that Deputy Director Eisen is understating the importance of the evidence and the real nature of the threat. Yes, Count Dooku succeeded in using the holonet for separatist propaganda purposes, but Republic forces were quick to shut down those shadow feeds."
He looked at Eisen.
"If memory serves, Compnor itself was established as a result of the Navy's actions at the time."
"No one in this chamber needs a history lesson, Vice Admiral,"